You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Glad to be with you for another day. We're here Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. every single day here at News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. And listen, it's a full day. I mean, I got a slate full. We got some things. I'm always enjoying having certain guests on. I got Justin Bogey, fiscal analyst from the Alabama Policy Institute, coming on at 3. Just wrote a great piece that got published pretty much statewide about the fact that we are due to have a tax cut in Montgomery. They have more money than ever down there. It is time for some of it to come back to the pockets of the taxpayers. That being said, the next thing I've got, though, is one of my favorite segments of every single week. At 4 o'clock today, you're going to want to stay tuned for the Grand Council. I got my friends Jeff Poor from 106.5 down on the coast and Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN joining me at 4 o'clock. But as always, keeping things humming around here, Miss Copper's running the board. Hey, Copper, how you doing?
Hello. Happy Thursday. Got it right this time.
You did. That's right. Yes, you were greeting people for Thursday yesterday when it was Wednesday, but
yes.
That was just wishful thinking, so you could call today Friday, right. But it's not. It's not. But yeah, we got lots going on, folks, and I got a triple dipper. So as always, I try to wrap up the show into kind of weave three storylines together, three stories you've got to know, and bring it to you in a variety of ways, and also tell you how it impacts us right here in Alabama. So Copper, hit that sound effect.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
All right, sitting here in the studio, sipping a cup of Just Love coffee right now. I've got a Triple Dipper for you. First of all, have you been watching the news? Biden did another press conference yesterday. Of course, he didn't take any questions. But the first issue on the table was supply chain madness. So number one on the Triple Dipper, we're going to unpack supply chain madness. It's really built on a series of policies the Biden administration has put in place, and we're going to unpack all those and let you see them. Number two on the Triple Dipper for the day, tax cuts. Are they coming? I don't know. There's some buzz right now in Montgomery. It needs to be more than buzz, though. We need to see something actually happen. I mean, at what point, government, is enough enough? When do you have enough of our money? And if you continually have surpluses like they've had the last several years, that would tend to mean you took more than you needed. So are tax cuts coming? That's number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, we've got to talk about national security a little bit. This is a very military-centric listening area right now. We have a lot of folks that are defense contractors, have family in the military, or are in the military, or are veterans, retired from the military, all right here in this listening area. And I'm going to tell you right now, national security, there has never been a more potentially dangerous time than what we're seeing right now from a variety of different angles. And I'll unpack that for you. But I got to tell you, though, before I do any of that, I was thinking about the way government approaches things sometimes. And I had a thought today. All right, so let's talk some truth to each other here just a minute. You ready? How many of you right side ruffians out there were not heads back when you were kids? Come on. If you're honest, most of you are joining me in admitting that you were indeed a knothead. I was a knothead. I definitely was a knothead. I was one of those little paste eaters, and that's what a bunch of us were. But knowing that, I can only imagine that you were subjected then to some form of parental persuasion, if you know what I mean. A kindly swat on the backside, or worse. I mean, I had to pick out my own switch one time. Dang. I was the kid that thought that bringing home the stray dog would never be a problem. I remember when I was 10 years old thinking it was hilarious when I took some scissors and cut the end off my grandfather's cigarette while it was lit, in his hand, sitting in his recliner. That didn't go over very well. I was a knothead. But somewhere in the mix for knotheads like me is that old parental fallback. You know, that redirection that sums up everything. The one phrase that when it's uttered by an exasperated parent after the 52nd time that a kid asks, "But how come?" You all know it. Say it with me. "Because I said so. That's why." It's a phrase that covers every grievance. It's the shortcut to ending every behavioral issue. And truthfully, I'm sure that I even used it as a parent too, just ask my kids. I mean, not for nothing here, but sometimes you're just through with explanations, right? You know the deal. I mean, picture this. "I should not have to tell you, son, for the 7,315th time to chew with your mouth closed. Because I said so, that's why." Or how about this one? Because we're only 5 minutes further down the road than the last time you asked if we were there yet. Or here's another one. I do not want to explain to you again why you should not share a spoon with everyone in your first grade class. And there's several like this. I mean, just think of some of you are laughing right now because you've been there. How about this one? Because you should never ask me if little Johnny could stay overnight while little Johnny is standing right there staring at me. Or this last one, I'll just do one more. How about this? Because the last time you didn't go to the bathroom before we left for church and I had to make an emergency stop at the gas station and we were late for Sunday school. So listen, because I said so, that's why. Parents use it all the time. Don't tell me those situations I just read weren't familiar. I hit some parental nerves. I know I did. And honestly, I know that it works, at least sometimes. That kind of a phrase, that because I said so, that's why, it has an air of finality. It's a ring of authority. The fact that it was said by that certain person that has, you know, authority over you puts the kibosh on the knotheadedness, if you know what I mean. And for parents, that's okay. But not for the government. In an era that we're seeing right now of vaccine mandates and parents being called domestic terrorists for speaking out at school boards, or border citizens being told just to hush now, don't say anything over the mass influx of illegal immigrants into their communities, or the fact that we're seeing more and more that elected officials believe they can tell you something, direct you to do something, with mere regulatory authority, couched in threats that if you speak out, it comes out kind of like, because I said so, that's why. I mean, it happens at all levels. Happens at the state right here in Alabama. Many small businesses were shut down last year during the early days of the pandemic. They were declared non-essential. Government said, because we said so, that's why. While the big box businesses were right down the street going on with life. In Birmingham, we watched in disbelief last year when the housing authority canceled contracts with a major church only because the pastor had merely hit like on a conservative pundit's Twitter post. You can't be a conservative and do business with us. Because we said so, that's why. And recently, we've seen a rash of strange governmental actions, like, you know, the Federal Health and Human Services Department deciding to limit distribution of monoclonal antibody treatments. Interestingly enough, it seems the red states were more impacted. I have family members who have benefited from those infusions. Why would they do that? Because I said so, that's why. I mean, it's strange behavior, this mindset that government is more like a parent. Well, here's some news. Government is not your parent. Does government have some measure of authority? Certainly. Does government have a job to do? Of course. Does government provide some essential services? Quite so. But when government actors depart from their role as public servants, actual servants, there to make society function better, there to provide the maximum use of your tax dollars entrusted to them, and they merely operate as if they're some kind of parents of the public, well, that's when we begin to see civil disturbance and unrest and discord. Insults are casted out sometimes like, just a bunch of baskets of deplorables, or clinging to their Bibles and guns, or most recently, I'm losing my patience with the unvaccinated. Those are dismissive tones. They indicate a lofty view of their position and a denigration of our own. Members of government, elected and unelected officials from all levels, I'm talking municipal, county, state, federal, they should remember that when addressing the citizens, their citizens, that care about certain things, that a certain measure of respect should be expected. Now, I'll confess, I would be remiss here if I didn't say that such respect goes both ways. Keep it in mind, just because you don't like a policy that a government official enacted or a vote they cast does not mean the matter was automatically corrupt. It doesn't mean they were blind. It doesn't mean they were worthy of a shout down or being followed into the bathroom to be yelled at and cause a scene. Nothing good comes from that, from either side. Are there times, though, when government officials, elected and unelected, may have more of the facts at their disposal? Yes, sometimes that's true. And will they always be able to please everybody? No. But, and this is the big but, attitudes in addressing it is everything. Government officials, you can be, I'm talking to you right now, you can be professional, knowledgeable, you can have the authority of your position, and you can still be a jerk. So likewise, you can be on the opposite side of an issue, and you can deal with it head on and respectfully, though. When we're told to shut down our businesses by government, we're told to pay more in taxes, we're told to get a shot we may not want, we're told to put a mask on our three-year-old, or we're not able to attend our grandmother's funeral because of social distancing, or we have to have our employees stay at home because they're being paid more by the government to stay at home, when we're told we can't collect rent for our rental properties, when it's insisted that we are the problem, not government, It's almost like the government is saying, because I said so, that's why. And history will show that has never worked out well for the government. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, folks, we have seen it. And we get back to this break here in a minute, I'm going to be unpacking some policies. The things you're seeing right now, the prices you're paying at the pump, the fact that you can't find toilet paper on some of the shelves, the fact that the ports are backed up all over the place, and that people are still not going back to work because they're being paid by government, those policies are all coalescing to create an economic situation that we're dealing with. And most of them are just pure policy. They're not laws. They're policies. Meaning it's just like the sympathy of something by the people who are in office. And it's got to change. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.